Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Say it, amen. Say it louder, amen. Oh, say it louder like you are alive, amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And thank you so much for coming out this morning. My Lord and my God, it's always a joy to be in his presence. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. So I get just excited coming to church. I don't know about you, but I do. My Lord and my God, thank you, Father. And I hope everyone had a blessed week. It's been a good week. And it's going to get better. Thank God, God is going to speak to us. And this month, we are going to continue experiencing his goodness. And last month, we stated on the love of God and God's overwhelming desire to pour and shower his love on us. So if you miss any of the messages, just go on the website and catch up. But God is up to something. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. He's up to something. And so we are switching to prayer. And it's good. The disciples observed the life of Jesus Christ and how he was getting results as a result of his private ministry of prayer. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. No matter our vocation, no matter what we are doing in life, the most important thing is to learn how to pray. It's so important to our existence in the Christian life. And so in this season, we will explore, Lord, teach us to pray. Why do we have to pray? What is the importance? And we can go behind the enemy lines and take what God and take back territory and also fellowship with our Father and receive all that we have for us. So we are in for a treat, I tell you. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Lord, teach us to pray. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, for all the saints, for all the saints, for all the saints. The Amplified puts it this way, the Classic Amplified puts it this way. He says, it reads this way. He says, praying at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. The phrase I want us to pay attention to that he says is, pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. That means there are different kinds of prayer. Another translation says, all kinds of prayer. And last summer, we did a series on prayer. But the key here is, there are different kinds of prayer. And all prayer, you may think there are different categories, but they will all come under these headings when it's all said and done. There is the prayer of agreement, if you are taking note. Prayer of agreement. There is the prayer of worship and praise. There is the prayer of consecration. There is the prayer of faith. There is intercessory prayer. There is united prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. And then there's the prayer of commitment. If you sum it all up together, it will come up under these headings. And the thing here is, there are different rules governing each kind of prayer. You see, every kind of prayer has different rules governing it. I mean, even in the natural, we have different games. And there are different rules that govern different games. You can't take the rules for basketball and apply it to baseball. If you did that, the baseball players, the coach, the spectators, everybody will be in confusion. It will all be mixed up. So sometimes what we do with prayer is we so to speak, take it and put it all in a sack and shake it and pour it out all together. But there are different rules for different kinds of prayer. And like, for instance, if you take Jesus, the life of Jesus Christ, when he was in the garden, he prayed and said, if it is your will, if it is your will, let this cup pass away from me. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew what was coming, but he was consecrating himself to the will of the Father. But when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, he didn't put if in his prayer. All he said was, Lazarus, come out. You see, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard my prayer and you hear me always. There's no if in that prayer. So, when you are consecrating yourself to the will of God, you put an if in there. But when you know the will of God, then you remove the if and then go directly based on what the written word of God has said. Glory be to God, my Lord and my God. So, prayer is, somebody said that the highest form of prayer is praise. There are different kinds of prayer. The highest form of prayer is praise, this person said. Prayer, and prayer is our need, crying out to God for help. Prayer is spiritual exercise. Prayer is taking our place in the body of Christ and in the family of God. Prayer is also fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is carrying out his will on the earth. And prayer is joining forces with God in his plan, in the work that he's doing in the earth. Thank you, Father. Okay, I'll repeat it again because I see some are taking note. Prayer is us crying out for God's help. Prayer is spiritual exercise. Prayer is taking our place in the body of Christ and in the family of God. Prayer is fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is carrying out his will on the earth. Jesus said, let your will be done in the earth as it is done in heaven. And prayer can also say, is joining forces with our Heavenly Father to carry out his will. Now, there's an interesting story in Acts chapter 12. Let's turn to Acts chapter 12. No matter what we do in life, the greatest thing we can learn is to learn prayer and know how to pray. Acts chapter 12. Thank you, Father. That was just the introduction. We are just getting started. My Lord and my God. Notice what he says. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer for him, notice the phrase, earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Another translation says that prayer was made continually for him by the church. Verse 6, now Herod was about to bring him out on that very night. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chain fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angels and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Oh, Herod had killed James, and now he proceeded to take Peter. You see, the church took for granted what happened to James. But when he came for Peter, they woke up. In a way, so to speak, they said, enough is enough. Herod stands for the wealth systems. Herod stands for, it stands sometimes for secular authority. It can stand for the power of the enemy that endeavors to come against us and seize us and put us in prison or some form of captivity, so to speak. What do you do when all of a sudden your health is attacked? What do you do when all of a sudden your finances is attacked? What do you do when you are at work and all of a sudden, because you are a Christian, people are persecuting you? What do you do? Do you just stand there and twiddle your thumbs? What do you do when all of a sudden some form of captivity comes on you? They've taken James, they've killed James, now they've proceeded to take Peter. Peter stands for the epitome of the church, the height of the church. But there are two kingdoms running down here in the air, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy, and the two of them are opposed to each other. The church underestimated what happened to James. So many times when the enemy starts stealing, we start underestimating him. And so long as our eyes are not open to what he's doing, he will continue and keep stealing from us. Stealing, killing, and destroying. But, oh, we get to the point, both individually and as a church, and we say, enough is enough. This has to stop. They woke up and said, this has to stop. We are not going to allow you to take Peter and also kill him. Thank you, Father. I know what persecution is. Because when I was growing up, I was in a boarding high school. And the authorities of that school, we were praying and things were happening. Things were happening. But they didn't like it. The devil doesn't like it when God is on the move, when the church is praying, when things are happening. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They attack us. And you know what they said? They said, your crime is praying. Have you ever had a charge like that against you? Your charge and your crime is praying. But we refuse to give up. We refuse to give up. They even beat us for praying. But no, we refuse to give up. We knew that when we pray, things happen. When we pray individually and as a church, things change. But let's get to our friend Peter. The night before he was supposed to be executed, this person was sleeping. When the angel came, the angel had to tap him and say, wake up. Think about it. It was Peter that wrote 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. That says, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you affectionately and watchfully. My Lord and my God. How can you sleep when you know the next day you are going to be executed? There you are not having butterflies in your stomach and staying up all night and worrying. Worrying won't do anything, by the way. It won't solve anything. He went to sleep. Oh, that's what happened to Jesus. He was in a storm and he was asleep. How can you do that when there is a storm going on? The only reason that you can do that, how can you sleep when you know that tomorrow you are going to be executed? He's done exactly that. He's made a commitment and rolled over the care of that unto the Lord, and now he's restful. From today, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you enter your rest. You enter and be in rest no matter what is going on. Oh, glory. He went to sleep. That's significant. Oh, but the prayers of the church began to make a difference. The prayers of the church made a difference. And God sent his angel to deliver Peter out of the prison. You see, the goal, if they can stop Peter, they stop the move of God. The goal of the enemy is to stop you in your tracks, is to put you in captivity and stop you. Oh, but when we take on and decide that we will pray, things begin to change. Instead of death, now Peter has life. When we begin to pray, instead of death, now we have life. Death is exchanged for life. It was prayer that moved the hand of God to set Peter free. If they hadn't prayed, Peter would have died. Oh, glory. The angel of the Lord came out and delivered Peter out of the prison, Peter out of captivity. And now verse 20, now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting the voice of a God and not man. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Prayer can cause your enemies to make mistakes. The angel, the same angel that took Peter out of prison, is the same one that dealt with Herod here. He made a mistake by not giving glory to God. If you are going to disturb the church of God, you are done. Thank you, Father. Anyway, another point, there is a limit. You see, there's a limit to where all all the argument can go. But when God steps in, everything changes. Now, verse 10 says that the gates opened on their own accord. The gates opened on their own accord. When the angel and Peter got there, that gate opened on their own accord. Without prayer, we are up against the gate. But when we pray, the gates of our lives that are closed begin to open up. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this morning, every door in your life that is closed, every door in your life that is closed, that is meant to be open, may it be open in the mighty name of Jesus. As you endeavor to pray, as we endeavor to pray individually and as a church, every door is opening in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Oh, glory. My. I'm getting excited. Oh, glory, glory. Though those things are designed to stop us, but thank God we cannot be stopped. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11. There's an interesting story there. Oh, are you ready for this? Nehemiah 4:11. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Nehemiah is before Esther. If you aren't using an app. Thank you, Father. Nehemiah 4:11. He says, and our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. This scripture is so important. This scripture has a lot in there. Our enemies said they will not know or see. They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. And stop the work. And stop the work. Stop the work. And stop the work. That is the goal of the enemy, is to stop you. Nehemiah was building the wall, but those enemies said that if they don't know what is going on, they will not see nor know. You see, prayer causes us. Prayer is our gateway or our access into the realm of the spirit, where we know and see, and so we stay ahead. But if we are not praying, we are limited. And the enemy will want to take advantage of us. If we are not, we don't know and we don't see, he can come and stop the work. He can come and stop you in your life. He can come and stop you in your business. He can come and stop you, you in every endeavor that you are trying to accomplish. It says they will not see nor know till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. That's the goal of the enemy. To destroy you and to stop the plan of God. But thanks be to God, because we can stay ahead of the enemy by prayer, by prayer, by prayer. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 12. Thank you, Lord. 2 Kings, there's another interesting story there. It illustrates clearly what we are talking about this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 12. Thank you, Lord. It says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servant, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servant and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. There is a war going on. Oh, but every time the other enemy makes a move, Elisha and the king are ahead of the game. He's seeing and knowing. Seeing and knowing. The enemy cannot stop you in whatever you are doing if by prayer you access God. God will show you things to come, the Bible says. You may know and see into the realm of the spirit by prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. If you don't see and know, he will come and stop the work. Stop you in whatever you are trying to do. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Make a call. Pray unto me. I will answer you. Not maybe. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So if we are not praying in our lives, we are at a disadvantage. But when we are praying, we are ahead of the game. And the enemy cannot stop us. You see, it's the application of the principles of God's word that causes us to be a success in life. If they don't see and know, I will come and stop the work. Oh, but if we see and know, if we call unto God, he will show us great and mighty things that we do not know. Thank you, Father. When our youngest son was just even in the womb, the enemy and death wanted to stop him. He wanted to stop him. When they did the check on him, they said that there is a hole in his heart. The person hasn't even been born. What wrong has he done? That is not from God. It's not from God. It's not from God. So we said, no, we went into prayer. Lord, heal him. Lord, touch him. Save his life. And to the glory of God, even before he was born or when he was born, there was no hole in his heart. We had an advantage because of prayer. Because of prayer, we went ahead and his life couldn't be stopped. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that from today, by prayer, as we take our prayer individually and as a church to another level, may God show you things to come so that the enemy cannot stop you. Oh, if that's you, say a big amen. The work is the target. The plan of God is the target. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 also emphasizes that point. A few pages before. Jeremiah 29, 10 to 13. Thank you, Father. Notice, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I'll fulfill to you my promise and bring back you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But notice verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Notice the correlation between the plans in verse 11 and then calling on me in verse 12. You see that? I have plans of good for you and not of evil. But for them to be fulfilled, I am asking you to call on me. And that's exactly what happened in Daniel chapter 9. Before, he said, after 70 years, I'll visit you and bring you back. So when the time came for them to be delivered, see what happened. Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Go with me to the book of Daniel, please. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Daniel chapter 9. This will bless you. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent, a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, he's referring to what we read in Jeremiah, the prophets must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The 70 years have ended, but they are still in captivity. God has said, when the 70 years end, he said, I have great plans for you, but you should call on me. Daniel said, I understood by the books that our time for captivity has ended. But he didn't just sit down and wait for it to come to pass. He set himself to make prayer unto his God for the fulfillment of that prophecy. That's a key issue here. Oh, God has great plans for us. I have great plans for you to give you a future, to give you a hope. But those plans won't just be fulfilled by themselves. We have to stand and say that, Lord, your plan for my life, oh, I want to see it. They would have remained in captivity if somebody hadn't done something. The plan is connected. The prayer is connected to the plan. He set himself. The 70 years have ended. There is no reason for us to be in Babylon. There is no reason for us to be in captivity. We have to come out. Go! Do what you say. my Lord and my God. This explains a lot. So many times in our own lives, we remain in captivity because we haven't done our part. But God is calling us to pray. God is calling us to pray. You will seek me and you will find me. You will call on me and I will answer. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. When we are praying, he will show you things to come. You will see and know so the enemy can stop stealing from you. Thank you, Father. Another point here. Oh, glory. James chapter 5, verse 17. Oh, what does our prayer do? James chapter 5, verse 17. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. But why do we have to pray? James chapter 5, verse 16. Let's start from verse 16. Thank you, Father. I love it so much in the Amplified. James chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offense, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued, I love that, continued, prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Our prayer makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Power is made available when we pray. Oh, this gives us an idea of how much power is made available. It says tremendous power, dynamic in its working. But how much power is released? Oh, we get a glimpse of this. My Lord, I'm getting ready to run here. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. The angel took the prayers of the saints, and the smoke of the rose up before God, and it filled it with fire from the altar. My Lord, when we pray, our prayers go up to heaven. It goes through a heavenly transaction, and it comes down with power. It comes down with power that can be seen, felt, and heard. Great flashes of lightning and an earthquake and peals of thunder, rumblings. Tremendous power. Oh, that is made available when we pray. That's what happened in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Oh, Paul and Silas had been preaching the word of God. And then once again, they had been put in prison. Oh, but at midnight. That midnight hour in your life, when it seems the darkest, when it seems the darkest, even when the sun is out, it feels like it's 12 o'clock at night. They knew what to do. They knew what to do. Oh, they began to pray and to sing praises. And God responded with that earthquake and shook that prison. And they were delivered. That's what happens when we pray. When we pray, we are making tremendous power available. Power that can be seen. Power that can be felt and heard. In our own lives and as a church. in the mighty name of Jesus. As you endeavor in this season to begin to call unto God, as you endeavor in this season to pray as a church, in the mighty name of Jesus, I see God moving on your behalf and on our behalf. If thus you say, a big amen. Amen. If that much power is made available, the prayer of a righteous man, you and I are righteous in Christ Jesus, can make said power available, how much more when we all come together? The Bible says that one shall taste 1,000, two shall taste 10,000. When we come together and we pray, power is made available. Power is made available. The impossible becomes possible. God hasn't run out. Oh, he delivered Paul and Silas out of prison. One time we were praying for a certain woman. She had had multiple miscarriages. Every time that she gets pregnant, she miscarries. And we said, no, that's not the will of God. And we agreed and prayed together and made tremendous power available. And to the glory of God, today she has two kids, wonderful children. Tremendous power made available. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Power is made available when we pray, when we pray. Power is made available. One time, the people of Israel were fighting. And Moses, I believe this is symbolic, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9 to 11, Moses went up to the top of the hill. And every time, let's see it, Exodus chapter 17, verse 9 to 11. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, so Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses and Aaron and Er went up to the top of the hill. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. That's symbolic. They went up with the staff of God in his hand. Every time his hand was up, the children of Israel kept winning. When his hand came down, the children of Israel kept losing. Oh, it's so in our life. When we maintain that prayer momentum, we keep winning in life. The moment that we stop praying, we start going down. We start being defeated. When the enemy comes to arrest your health, when the enemy comes to put any area of your life in captivity, that's not the time to stand there and just look at him and let him do his thing. That's the time to stand on your watch and say, devil, I refuse to let you stop my life. I refuse to let you stop my life. I refuse to let you stop my health. I refuse you in any area of my life, my finance, any area of my life where you are endeavoring to steal from me. I refuse to let you steal my kids. Thank you, Father. And then, finally, even when we couple our prayer with fasting, it even makes it even more effective. It's even more effective. It's even more powerful. Think about the story of Esther, that a whole nation was at risk. And Esther said, I will go to the king. It's not time for me to go there, but I will go. Don't let anybody eat or drink for 3 days. And I'm going to go. If I perish, I perish. Interestingly, anybody that in the Bible that said, I want to perish by going all out for God never perished. You never lose when you decide to go all out for God. They fasted and and the circumstance, a whole nation was saved. You see, when we are not praying, when we are not, I mean, that is the reason why we have to stay alert. Same for Nineveh, Jonah chapter 3, verse 7. Even the animals fasted. That one was serious. God sent Jonah there. He said, your wickedness is so great. You people are done. The king said, let's do something about this. I'm sure we can change this. We can change the judgment that is coming on us. They fasted and they prayed. He said, not even the animals should drink water. They called on God for mercy. Lord, mercy. Lord, mercy. And the whole nation was spared. In this season, in this month, as we have entered a new month, as we have entered the next half of the year, let us begin to press in individually and as a church, saying, Lord, your plan for our lives, Lord, that which you have spoken for our life, and any area of our life that doesn't line up with the will of God, God, we are seeking you for a turnaround. Thank you, Father. Oh, I see your circumstance being turned around in the mighty name of Jesus as you endeavor to stay on your watch. As you endeavor to stay on your watch. Don't neglect that place of prayer. Pray in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Pray in the evening. Prayer should be to you as normal as breathing. Living in the presence of God all the time. Fellowshipping with the Father all the time. Lord, what are you saying for me to do in this season? I want to do your perfect will and plan for my life. I want to cooperate with you with what you are doing in our city. I want to cooperate with you in what you are doing in our nation. And watch God. Watch God. Watch God. Watch God. Watch God. Watch God. Send things around for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, every captivity that you have been in, even some of it may be a long time, watch God turn it around in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, glory. In this season, I pray that the enemy will not steal from you anymore. As you stay on your watch, as you endeavor to begin to pray and to seek his face. Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what is your plan for me? Lord, for my family. Lord, what do you want me to do? What steps do you want me to take for me to enter the fullness of what you have for me? Lord, I am committed to following you. Oh, I will seek you with all my being. I will seek you with all my heart. One writer said that when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. I love that. Thank you, Father. So in this season, let us endeavor that, Lord, we will pray. We will pray. There are some things in our life that have gone on for too long. They must end. They must change. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, and then add fasting to it. If animals, even animals can fast, how much more us? Can skip a meal or two and just spend that time praying and seeking his face. Let's pray. God is good. He's ready. He's ready. He wants to shower his love so much on us, but he's showing us what we need to do. He's showing us our portion of it, our part of it. Oh, let's close our eyes this morning. Thank you, Father. Talk to God. 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 That captivity must end. That captivity must end. In the mighty name of Jesus, talk to God. 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 Daniel said, I understood by the books that the years of our captivity had ended. It was time for us to come out. in the mighty name of Jesus. It is time for you to go to the next level. It is time for us to go to the next level. But it will take prayer for us to access, seeing and knowing in the mighty name of Jesus, so that the work, so that the plan of God can be fulfilled in our life. Lift up your voice this morning and talk to God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. This morning, if you are listening today, if you are watching us online or listening to this after the fact, and you don't have a personal relationship, with God, you are in captivity. It may be drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be some addiction, it may be something that you are in captivity to, but you don't know Jesus and you don't know how to come out. Your first prayer that you have to pray is to allow God to come into your heart. Glory. If you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and to make him Lord of your life, if you are ready for a turnaround in your life this morning, by starting a relationship with Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I believe you were raised from the dead. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Today, I confess with my mouth, Jesus as Lord. I confess him as my Lord. I renounce the past. Lord, come, Jesus, come into my heart and make me a new person and help me to serve you and to live my life for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, you saved me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning. That communion table, that communion represent where our life, death was exchanged for life. And we came into the kingdom of God. Where we were ones that were supposed to have died. But he came and paid the price for us that we may have life. He came for our sickness. He came that we may have health. For our poverty, he was made poor that we may be rich. We may have access to his wealth. For our nakedness and shame, he came that we may be clothed, that we may share in his glory, the Bible says. That we may be delivered from shame. That we may be delivered from the hand of the enemy. That we may come into fellowship with God. That we may be protected in this wicked and evil world. And so let's remember that. That our sins was wiped away. For our sins is why he was made sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God. So be conscious of that in any area of your life that doesn't reflect the redemption plan of God. Receive his hope. Lord, he prayed in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. That is why he came. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Remember that. Receive fullness and wholeness in every area of your life. Thank you, Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Thank you, Father. It says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This morning, let's partake of his body that was broken for us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of his body. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or show the Lord's death until he comes." This morning, let's close our eyes and pray unto God. Begin to appropriate the benefits of this table. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord's death must be made proof in your life. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. You show the Lord death until he comes. His death has taken place for you. Oh, your sickness has been taken away. Oh, your poverty has been taken away. Your shame has been taken away. In the mighty name of Jesus, the evidence of his resurrection must speak in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, the evidence of his resurrection must speak in the life of your children. The evidence of his resurrection must speak in your life. Open your mouth and begin to appropriate that this morning. Oh, lift up your voice unto God. His presence is here this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, where there is sickness, I speak health and healing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, glory. We, oh God, partake of this Lord's saying as well, Lord, we commit our lives to you to seek your kingdom first and his righteousness. Oh, as you give your life up for us, Lord, we give our lives to you. Let us go from strength to strength. Thank you, Father. So say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Lord, in any area of my life where I am in captivity, you have made me free, but I'm not walking in the fullness of it. But I'm not walking in the fullness of it. Lord, let me experience your freedom. Your freedom, your freedom, your freedom, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. I declare that that captivity comes to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, if Christ has made us free, we are free indeed, and we refuse angered with any yoke of bondage. Thank you, you have made us free. Thank you, you have made us free. Thank you, you have made us free. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace. Shout it, I am free. I am free. Oh, and let's give him praise and glory before we go. Let's give him praise and glory before we go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-1111. 5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.